I find today's Bible reading especially exciting. I'm sure Pastor Richard is going to be telling us a lot more about it shortly. But this is one of the first times that Jesus is actually revealing what I consider to be part of his mission statement. I wonder what was happening in heaven in the lead up. The thing that happened just before this Bible reading is Jesus' temptation with the devil in the wilderness. And then he comes to Nazareth. I wonder what the conversations in heaven was going to be. This is it. What's he going to do? Is he going to really show his cards and tell the people what he's here for? Let's find the Bible reading written in Luke chapter 4. From verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everybody praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. It is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Over to you, Pastor.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you prepare our hearts to hear a message from you. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, the message of your freedom. Draw us close to Jesus and bless us and renew us in him. In Jesus' own precious name we pray. Amen. Well, not great surprise. Today I'm going to be talking to you about freedom, specifically freedom in Christ. Now, the thought of freedom is something that is extremely appealing to us as modern people. It's one of the core aspirations of our age, of our culture. We want to be free. I remember a teenager in one of my confirmation classes years ago. And this particular student was having difficulty around the concept of the Lordship of Jesus. And as she was thinking about it, she got more and more agitated, and she blurted out loud, "No one's the boss of me." Now, you've got to kind of admire the unfiltered honesty of that. And I wonder, when it comes to our understanding of our own personal freedom, whether, although we mightn't put it in such a direct or unsophisticated way, whether deep down inside there's something about us that says, "Yeah, freedom. No one's the boss of me." That seems to be the case with all the arguments about vaccinations that have been floating around the internet the last couple of years, or even more recently, whether Novak can play at the Australian Open. And you're probably aware of a phenomenon in recent months has been there's been freedom rallies all around the world, including here in Australia. And when it comes down to it, it seems to me that the core conviction behind all of that is the strongly held belief that The government shouldn't tell us what we can and can't do. In other words, no one's the boss of me. But is that what freedom in Jesus is all about? That's a question for us this morning. Is that what freedom is about? Is it simply that I can do whatever I want? Is freedom about, well, I can be in charge of my own life, I can chart the course of my destiny, I can do whatever I want without interference from others, because no one's the boss of me? But how does that sentiment align with what we've just heard before about Jesus' mission statement, what he came to do, what freedom Jesus brings us? That's from Isaiah 61, when Jesus outlines what his liberating work as our Saviour is all about. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Nothing in there about no one's the boss of me, by the way. Now, are we understanding what Jesus is promising us here? Have we got our heads straight about that? The Jews of Jesus' day, when they heard Jesus make this promise about bringing freedom, mostly thought about that in terms of Jesus was going to liberate them from those hated Romans who had occupied their country. And so when they hear Jesus talking about freedom, they understood that. They filtered what Jesus was saying through the lens of political autonomy. What they wanted was a free Jewish nation. "Oh, Jesus, you're going to make us free, are you? You're going to get rid of the Romans?" They got real mad at Jesus when he didn't deliver on that. Now, before we rush in and be too harsh in our judgment of those Jews, whether they misunderstood Jesus' words of freedom or not, let's just check in to see whether we ourselves are understanding correctly what Jesus is saying about freedom. So the question, again, to repeat it, is, does Jesus' freedom mean no one's the boss of me? Well, no, it doesn't. Let's explore why. When we talk about freedom that Jesus brings us, we usually begin by focusing on all the things that Jesus sets us free from. We've thought about that in the Confession of Sins already this morning. So there's a whole lot of things that have us trapped and bound, things that rob us of the fullness of life that God wants for us. And so we rightly talk about Jesus breaking the chains of our sin. We talk about Jesus removing our guilt, of Jesus reversing our condemnation. We're no longer condemned because of Jesus. Of Jesus ending our alienation, that distance between God and us. Of taking away our fear. And of ending our despair. And finally, of Jesus defeating death for us. Isn't that all that wonderful, wonderful good news? Something to trust in, build our lives on, to celebrate. Jesus has set us free from all of that. But that's not everything that Jesus' freedom is about. there's more. To get a full picture of what freedom in Jesus means, we also need to include all the things that Jesus frees us for. The freedom that Jesus brings us is not just freedom from the negative things in life, the things that come from our sin and brokenness, but Jesus has brought us freedom to bring us all the positive gifts of God, all the wonderful things that Jesus brings into our lives. So not just taking away the negative, the bad stuff, but bringing in the positive, all the good stuff. And we need to have both of those to have a full understanding of freedom, not only freedom from, but also freedom for. Pastor Rowley before was talking about from Romans 6 that not only we share in Jesus' death, takes away our sin and condemnation, but we enter into Jesus' resurrection. We enter into the new life that God has for us. We need both, cross and resurrection. We are believers in the cross, but we're also Easter people. New life in Him. So, in Jesus, we no longer are bound by our sin, our guilt, our condemnation. Jesus has set us free from that. Jesus has set us free from the fear of death, fear of hell. Jesus has broken that. But Jesus has also promised us forgiveness, acceptance, new life, and the promise of eternal life with Jesus forever. So no longer do we have to carry the burden of our guilt, our sin. We no longer have to be terrified of God's judgment because Jesus has been judged in our place. But because of Jesus, we now know that we are God's beloved, forgiven, accepted, cherished children in Christ. That we are people who have a sure hope of spending eternity with Jesus. Not only took away the negative, but brought in the positive. Jesus not only sets us free from a sense of alienation, of despair and meaninglessness, Jesus sets us free for a life where we are reconciled with God, where we know God's grace and favour. We know that God accepts us in Christ. We know that through trusting in Jesus, our lives matter. We matter. Because Jesus told us we do. We are people who have an eternal destiny. We are people who now have a whole new purpose and meaning in life in Christ. That's what freedom is. We think about the video skit, and I think the voiceover was by Morgan Freeman. That not only does Jesus open the cage and let us out, but freedom's not just getting out of the cage. Freedom is what we do when we're out of the cage. The new life that we live, no longer bound and hemmed in. So that's the freedom, friends, that brings us inner peace, brings fulfillment to our lives. It brings us the greatest of joy in Jesus. Now, sometimes I wonder that one of the reasons why our witness to our loved ones and our neighbours so often falls on deaf ears. Am I the only one who has that experience? One of the reasons why I think our witness falls on deaf ears is that maybe, just maybe, we're only telling them half of the story. We readily tell them about how Jesus sets us free from our sin, God forgives us. And people are going, well, I don't really feel I need to be forgiven. You're offering something I don't want. And we forget to tell them about the other side of the story. We miss out the bit about how Jesus sets us free for a new life with him. I think that's worth reflecting on. I want to share with you a common blind spot when it comes to the message of freedom in Jesus. Something that we modern Christians frequently downplay to our spiritual harm. We rightly talk about Jesus setting us free from our sin and guilt and from death, freedom from fear and despair and alienation, freedom from a meaningless and empty life. But there's one hugely significant thing that's missing from that list. And we ignore it at our peril. There's something that Jesus frees us from that is at the very core of the gospel message. Jesus sets us free from ourselves. Jesus has come to set us free from ourselves as sinners so that we might be free to be our true selves, that we might be free to at long last be the children of God. This is where the modern conviction that no one's the boss of me points us in the wrong direction. Blinds us to a fundamental truth about our brokenness as human beings. And it blinds us to what true freedom in Jesus is. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, "Those who would come after me must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose them. Those who lose their lives for me will save them." Most modern Christians, when they hear these words of Jesus about taking up our cross and following Jesus, most modern Christians don't really know what to make of that. And mostly, we have a tendency to say, oh, Jesus is talking about if you follow him, you're going to go through some difficult times. We all have our crosses to bear. And that's part of it, but that's not what Jesus is really talking about. Jesus, when he talks about taking up our cross and following him, put your seatbelts on because this is a bumpy ride and it's hard for us modern peoples to get our head around that. When Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him, he calls us to die. He calls us to die. To die to ourselves. Jesus calls us to let him put to death our sinful, self-centered, rebellious egos. To die to our attempt to live life without God. The misguided notion that no one is the boss of me. Friends, that's a problem that affects us all. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. After all, Adam and Eve weren't kicked out of the garden because they nicked an apple. Not about a sin of stealing. It's about sin of rebellion. It's about saying, God, I don't want you to be the boss of me. I'm going to be my own boss. I can eat this apple. I can live independently of you. And we mistakenly think as human beings that we will find our freedom in life by asserting our independence. we mistakenly think that life will be good when we self-actualize, when we take control. But tragically, that merely makes us our own jailers. And we're our own worst enemies, trapped by the effects of our sin and our brokenness. The reality is, we will only find true freedom in life by submitting to Christ and the salvation he brings. After all, asserting our independence from God was where it went all wrong in the first place. And to be a Christian is not to say, I'm free, no one's the boss of me. To be a Christian is to say, Jesus is the boss of me. Come on, you can say that with me. Jesus is the boss of me. We find our freedom living under his lordship. And under him, when we say, Jesus is the boss of me, he's the boss of my life, then we can go on to confidently say, if Jesus is the boss of me, then nothing else is the boss of me. Not sin, not guilt, not fear, not even death. For I am free in Christ. I'm free in him. All of this is captured beautifully by the words of the hymn, Lord of Creation, where we sing these words, Lord of all power, I give you my will, in joyful obedience your task to fulfill. Your bondage is freedom. Now, try and get your head around that one. Your bondage is freedom. It's a paradox, isn't it? That when Jesus is the boss of us, we're truly free. Your bondage is freedom, your service is song, and held in your keeping, some of you know the words, my weakness is strong. Friends, it's time for each of us to resign as CEO of the universe and to stop trying to call all the shots. Of course, we're no good at it anyway. The truth is, Jesus is so much better at making us whole and bringing us freedom than we could ever achieve on our own. And that life lived under him, under his lordship, under his rule, life lived under his love and grace is the route to true and lasting freedom. For Jesus is our freedom and nowhere else. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bring us your freedom. We thank you that you set us free from our sin, that you bring healing to our lives. We pray by your Holy Spirit may live in the freedom of your gospel, that we might live as people who know who we are, that we are loved, that our lives matter, and that you have a purpose for our lives. Help us to live joyfully in the freedom that you bring, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.